I'm Alec Lace. Welcome to First Class Fatherhood. Welcome, everybody, to episode 542 of the podcast. I am happy, as always, to be here with you. Thank you for stopping by. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, please get over there and bang that subscribe button. You do not want to miss all the action coming your way right here on First Class Fatherhood. All right, dads, I got an incredible guest for you guys today. Legendary sports radio talk show host Chris Mad Dog Russo joins me on the podcast. I can remember listening to the Mad Dog way back in grammar school. In fact, my mom used to listen to Mike and the Mad Dog all day just so she could keep up with all the news and have conversations with my brother and I, who were just sports fanatics as kids and teenagers. Chris Russo now hosts Mad Dog Unleashed on Sirius XM Radio. In fact, he's got his own channel on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio, Channel 82. The Mad Dog is a sports radio legend with an iconic voice and just a passionate delivery. I've called in to speak with the dog many times over the years, so to say it's an honor to have him on the podcast here with me today is an understatement. Chris Russo will be here with me in just a few minutes, so please stick around for the interview. And today's interview with Chris Russo was recorded on video and is available for you guys to watch on my YouTube channel. So if you'd like to watch the conversation between the Mad Dog and myself, please subscribe to First Class Fatherhood on YouTube. The link is in the description of today's podcast episode. All right, if you guys like today's episode with the Mad Dog and you're a sports nut, you've got to check out some of the sports dads that I've had on the podcast here from the NFL, like Deion Sanders, Major League Baseball, Mike Piazza, the NBA, Michael Carter-Williams, NHL, Ken Danico, the UFC, Dustin Poirier, and so many others. I've had many dads who play sports on the podcast here, so I encourage you to go through the archives of the show here and check them all out. And if you plan on taking your kids to any sporting events, you've got to buy your tickets at SeatGeek.com and save $20 on your tickets and help support the show here. Go to SeatGeek.com or use the SeatGeek app. Use the promo code FIRSTCLASS, one word, FIRSTCLASS, and you're going to save $20 on your tickets to any sporting event, concert, theater play, whatever it may be. Buy your tickets over there. You help support the podcast and save a couple of bucks while you do it. All right, make sure you guys are following me on Instagram at Alec_Lace for all the upcoming guest announcements. If you're enjoying the podcast, please hit me with a rating or review. It goes a long way to help me out. And as always, guys, please help me spread the word about the podcast. Every father in your neighborhood or in your contact list, let them know about the show to see us celebrating fatherhood and family life. Fatherhood rocks, family values rule, and every day is Father's Day right here with me. And I'm going to be right back with Chris Mad Dog Russo. I'm Alec Lace, and you're listening to First Class Fatherhood. What's doing, dads? I've got two ways for you guys to save money and support First Class Fatherhood. First up, the NFL season is back and the stands are packed once again with fans the way it's supposed to be. If you plan on taking your kids, going with your family, or going with the guys to the game, save $20 on your tickets by going to SeatGeek.com or using the SeatGeek app and use my promo code FIRSTCLASS. That's one word, FIRSTCLASS, and you're going to save $20 off your tickets. Okay, and secondly, you got to go to MyPillow.com and save up to 66% off using my promo code FATHERHOOD. MyPillow.com, use the promo code FATHERHOOD. I'll tell you right now, their pillows are great, but their mattress toppers, their towels, their bathrobes are next level. You got to check them out. MyPillow.com, use the promo code FATHERHOOD, and you're going to save up to 66% off your order. All right, you got that, guys? SeatGeek, save $20 on your tickets. Promo code over there, First Class. MyPillow, promo code over there, Fatherhood. All right, two ways for you guys to save money and support First Class Fatherhood. Joining me now, First Class Father, Chris Mad Dog Russo. Welcome to First Class Fatherhood.
Alec, good to be on, buddy. How you doing today, okay? What's happening?
I'm doing well. Listen, it's an honor to have you here. I've been a long-time listener, called you quite a few times over the years, so it's an honor to have you on the podcast. Let's just start it like this. How many kids do you have, and how old are they?
I have four kids, three boys and a girl. The ages, the youngest is 16. He just turned it, and the oldest is 22. So my wife had four kids in 7 years, one out of college, two in, one at home, three boys and a girl.
Yeah, well, I'm right there with you. I got three boys and a girl myself. Our girl is the youngest. We got her on the final try. If not, we'd have five, but we got her on four, and that was the end of that.
Very good. Yeah, you know, sometimes you can't worry about what you're going to get, because if you do that, you might end up with 11 boys and no girls. You don't worry about that, but I'm glad I had the boy and a girl. They were the first two, boy first, girl second, and I'm glad it worked out that way.
Yeah, very cool. If you could, Chris, please just take 1 minute here to hit my listeners with a little bit about your background and what you do.
Sure. I'm a talk show host, Alec. I'm WFAN in New York for a long, long period of time, 19 87, 88, right up until Mike and the Mad Dog, which is a afternoon drive show, which began in 89. And I did that up until 2008. And then from 2008 to currently, I've been over here at Sirius XM on Channel 82, Mad Dog Radio. And we've been doing afternoon drive sports since 2008. So 19 years at FAM and now around 13 or so here at Sirius XM. So, you know, 32 years talking sports in the New York market for the most part.
Yeah, you've had a legendary career for sure, Chris. So if you could, take me back to the beginning now of your fatherhood journey here. About how old were you when you first became a dad, and how did becoming a father kind of change your perspective on life?
I was 38 when I had my first, was I even older than that? 890. I was 39 when I had my first, when my wife had her first child, that which was December of 98. I was married in May of 95. So 3 years after I was married, Timmy came along, and I was 35 when I got married, 39 when Tim came, and my last child was born in July of 2005, and I was 45. No, I'm sorry. I was 45 going on 46. So my kids didn't come until I was 38, four kids in that 7 year period. And I didn't get married till I was 35. So my childhood, my fatherhood phase came in a little later in life, where you can make an argument that's better because you may be a little bit more financially stable, you have your career organized. The other part that's a negative is that you're still doing fatherhood stuff. I got a kid in high school, so I can't go anywhere, and I'm in my 60s. So there's two ways to look at it. You know, being a fatherhood with young kids is a young man's deal. And so maybe 35 is or 39 might be a little late to get started there. So maybe in the late 20s would have been better, but it is what it is. So I'm still doing, and you know, still don't have everybody out of the house yet at this point in my life. The last one's still sitting there in a junior in high school. So from the ages of 38 to 63, 64, I've had kids around here in New Canaan, Connecticut.
Yeah, very cool. And Chris, yeah, my father was 50 years old when he had me. So he was born in 1930. He grew up in a completely different era. And one of the things that I know with you, I know you're big with the old movies. I grew up watching, my father was actually a stand-in singer for Eddie Fisher back in the 50s. So I grew up watching all them, Humphrey Bogart, Jimmy Cagney movies. I know you're a big African Queen guy. Did you kind of, and one of the things I love is introducing those movies to my kids, especially now, the month of October, I bring them all the Universal horror movies. Do your kids get involved in watching those movies? Did you share that with your kids?
As much as I possibly can. My one boy, third youngest, he is really into it. He's seen High Noon. They've all seen Shawshank Redemption, but he's seen High Noon. He's seen a lot of the old time classics. He is the most interested in that, more so than the other two. My daughter is studying film at Notre Dame, so she is now getting into the old classics. So she's jumping on board some now. But the one who I spent the most time with from a old movie perspective would be my sophomore at Wisconsin, and he's into it. You know, he knows who Gary Cooper is. He's heard of Humphrey Bogart. They all love the movies. You know, kids love the movies. My youngest is a big horror movie fan, which I'm not crazy about, but, you know, there isn't a scary movie he doesn't like. And right now they all want to do the movies. I mean, you know, which is, we all know, how hard that is to break into the movie business, whether it's in front or behind the camera. Yes, movies, big part of my life too, growing up, talked a lot about them with my old partner forever. And I tried to introduce my kids to as many movies as I can. The one that they all saw that I made sure they did see was Shawshank Redemption. That is one I made sure they saw.
All right, good stuff. And then how about as far as values, Chris, what would you consider to be the top values that you hope to instill in all your kids growing up?
That's a good one. Well, everybody's treated equally, number one. I think that, and that's why I like sports so much, because, you know, you're colorblind. It doesn't make any difference who the players are, black, white, Asian, makes no difference. You're all out there to try to win. So I make sure they all know that, and following sports helps there. That's the first thing. Second thing is that, you know, honest days work, honest days pay. Go out there and, you know, nothing is going to be accomplished without some modicum of hard work. So I try to make sure that they know that. And sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other. Sometimes I think it might register, you know. You don't want to overdo it, because when you overdo it, then they're going to sort of rebel against you and not pay attention. You know how kids are. I was the same way with my father. I didn't want to listen to Joe DiMaggio stories all day. So I kind of turned the other cheek, so to speak. And I'm conscious of my kids doing the same to me if I overdo it. But, you know, I try to lead. In a lot of ways, I try to lead by example. If they see me working hard, if they see me treating everybody equally, if they see me, you know, getting on a train every morning to go to work, if they see me, you know, going to church on Sunday afternoons or a synagogue, if that would be the case, or Sunday mornings, hopefully that rubs off. So I try to lead by example as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, very well said, Chris. And leaning into that a little bit more, what about as far as discipline goes? What type of disciplinarian are you as a dad? And is that different than the discipline style you grew up with?
Yeah, I'm not a good disciplinarian. My wife's much better at that than I am. I have a tendency to forget about why I'm mad about an hour later. So I might say, you know, you're not driving the car. You're going to be grounded. You're going to be this. You're going to be that. And then an hour later, I change my mind. I forget. The one who follows me, who's like me, he's a pain in the neck, stays out late a lot in the summertime. So I'm always up waiting for him to get home. He drives me crazy, but even trying to be mad at him, it doesn't last as long as it should, because I forget about it, or I don't want to be the bad guy there in a relationship. So I sort of let my wife be the bad cop to my good cop. So from a disciplinary standpoint, my wife takes care of that. You know, and again, you know, I don't discipline them too much. Fortunately, we haven't really had to do that much. I got good kids. But there are times everybody steps over the line that you got to be paying attention to their behavior. And you got to essentially once in a while lower the boom. So it's not like I've avoided it. But when I have to do something, I let my wife take care of it.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I definitely am getting better at my disciplining with my daughter. I'm definitely a little bit better at it with my boys than I am with my girl. She's my youngest. She's only 7. So I'm still kind of learning the game there with her.
Right.
And obviously, you know, sports, big part of your life. What kind of sports did your kids play growing up? And did you ever get a chance to coach them into sports? Or did you ever step away from that and watch it from the sidelines?
No, I just watched. I did not coach them. They played basketball mostly. My oldest ran track and field too. But basically basketball. I made sure I got in all the games. I made sure that I showed up at all the games. You know, I was completely into it. And I would maneuver every way I could to, if the game was in an inconvenient time, to get to the game and tape something so I could, without being diligent, without being, you know, a detriment to the radio. So I went to all these AAU tournaments weekend after weekend. I was pretty good. I took it seriously, probably more seriously than they did. I tried not to hide disappointment when your kids didn't play as well as you think they should have, where I thought the effort wasn't great. You know, I tried to keep my mouth shut and not say anything, because that's going to have a bad consequence too. And you know, when they played well, I made sure I told them, you know, and I didn't always equate it with points. You know, I can analyze a ball game with the best of them. So when I see a basketball game and I think they played well, but it doesn't include any baskets, you know, that's not important to me. Sure, everybody wants to score. And I think when you see basketball being played at a high school level or at an AAU level, everybody looks at the points. I looked at it from a little different standpoint. And I was good with it. You know, my youngest doesn't play sports, so I haven't had the pleasure of dealing with that. My daughter played a little soccer, then she got away from it. It's the two boys. They both played basketball, both played on the varsity, went to a million games, was friends with the coach before he coached them. So that at times, you know, was a little problematic, because, you know, high school coaches don't want to be dealing with parents because it's all about playing time. But overall, I think, you know, I handled their careers pretty good. I was supportive, went to a lot of the games, and made sure they played, which is the most important thing. Did something.
Yeah. And then getting it into here, into what you do, Chris. I know you mentioned there some of your kids wanted to get into in front of the camera, whether it be acting or behind the camera. It's a difficult field to get into. So is broadcasting and what you've been doing. A lot of people are trying to get in. I know the podcasting has changed the game completely since you came first on the scene here. So what kind of advice do you have for the parents out there who have kids that are interested in a broadcast sports analysis type of career that you got? How would you tell the parents to steer
their
kids?
Very difficult. First thing I would say, you know, go to college. I would go to a liberal arts college, made sure the college had a radio station, worked in the college radio station doing a variety of things, and then see if you like it when you graduate, when you're 22 years of age. The way I did it, and it's the only way I know, you know, I went to a small station in Jacksonville, Florida, and I went, you know, and I worked my way up the ladder through that way, Orlando next, and then I got lucky in New York. I know that's not necessarily the way to go today, because there's so many different outlets, as you said, with podcasting. Podcasts, you can get lost. You know, there's so many podcasts out there, and it's not really radio. It's a, you know, it's a different thing. So I don't know if I'd recommend that. I would recommend doing it the old-fashioned way and getting on a radio station and doing your thing. Or if TV is it, do the television as well. That's the way I did it. I don't think there's any shortcuts. I think you got to get as much experience as you can. The college radio, don't confuse that with commercial radio, because it's not. It's just something to do. Practice it. Get a sense if you can do this. And then once you graduate college, you go into it's a whole new ball game there in commercial radio. I know I went to Jacksonville to get started. You had to go to Racine, Wisconsin. Go to Racine, Wisconsin. I have one who wants to do it. He's, you know, he's got ability. He's only a sophomore in college. He's done everything in college that you would think a kid should do, whether it's pregame or halftime or hosting for the college radio station. So I think he's kind of on the right path. We'll see what happens in 5 years, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of bumps in the road with this field. But, you know, again, if this is different, because, you know, you could, if you know something about finance, you can get yourself organized. If you know something about journalism, you're going to find a newspaper to write on. You know, if you don't have a great voice, and if you don't have that personality, and if you're not magnetic, don't have great presence, there's no guarantee you're going to make it on in the media, in radio or television. You got to have presence, and that's something you can't teach. You either have it or you don't. And you know, I would never tell somebody to forego their dreams if they thought they could do this. But you know, it's a knack. It's not really something you refine it. But you can tell early on whether somebody has that little something extra that makes him, you know, a radio or a TV or a podcast celebrity, quote unquote. You can tell that early. I don't think you're going to all of a sudden walk into a radio station at 23, be awful, and then all of a sudden turn out to be Vin Scully at 33. Now, there's got to be certain ingredients that you got to have going in that you can tell right away if you have it. And, you know, in my case with the one, we'll see. I see some of that, you know, but there's more to it than that. But you got to have that. I see some of that in him. We'll see what happens down the road.
Yeah, great take, Chris. I know the field is large and the availability is minimum, so I know it's a struggle for a lot of people to get into it. And I wanted to ask you, too, I have the four kids like you, now your job, obviously, not just the actual talk radio, but it's watching the games, doing the research and stuff like that. And one of the things that I don't say struggle with, but it's challenging, is to spend one-on-one time with each one of my four kids, because I know how important it is for them. How have you been able to manage that with your four kids, considering the job that you have? Have you been able to get isolated one-on-one time with them? How do you kind of handle that?
Well, I mean, the two boys, the older boys, definitely, because we went to all the basketball tournaments on weekends together at the AAU. Drove, you know, wherever they might be, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. So I always spent time with them. The daughter and I have a very good relationship. She's not into sports, but she's a lot like me. She's very well organized. She's got a goal that she wants, and she's got a plan of how to get there. You know, she's got a mind of her own. So if you try too hard to coerce her into doing what you think you want her to do instead of what she wants her to do, what she wants herself to do, you're going nowhere. You're hitting your head against the wall. So you almost got to guide her gently. And I've learned how to do that. My 16-year-old, I have some trouble with, because, you know, he's not into finding things to bond with him. You know, he's not a sports fan. He's not going to sit there and listen to Crosby, Stills, and Nash. You know, my oldest loves Springsteen, so I always had that with him too. This 16-year-old doesn't have that. So more issues with the 16-year-old finding a common ground than the other three. So we got four kids. You know, not all of them are going to be, you're going to have a peachy relationship with. There's always going to be some issues with one or maybe more. With me, it's the one that, you know, we love each other, but you can tell there's some friction. There's not a lot in common. Commonality is the most important thing. I have commonality with the two boys, whether it's sports, basketball, broadcasting, teams. The daughter, very much like me, so I have some of that with her. The boy, the youngest one, not as much. So that's the one.
Yeah, and one of the things about being a dad too, Chris, is like my oldest became interested. I always talk about he became interested in chess at an early age. It's something I never knew anything about, but it was something that I learned to do to play with him. And now I love the game. We all play as a family and stuff, and it's something I never would have ever imagined myself doing in my life. So they introduce us to kind of some of these things too to help
Absolutely
us grow.
Right. My youngest plays some chess. I like to see him join a chess club and, you know, to really refine all the rules and everything else. And I would do it with him, but yeah, he is. He played chess too. My other ones don't. I try to teach him how to play backgammon, things like that. But again, you know, with the kids, you try to find commonality and identify to them on their level. I mean, that's how you try to handle that. And the 16-year-old is the one that I haven't done a great job with so far of finding that common ground.
Yeah. All right. And obviously you're still crushing it on the radio here with the Mad Dog. How much longer you plan on doing this, and what kind of plans or goals do you have for yourself for the future?
Well, remember, I got a kid still in high school, so I'm not going to stop doing it until he's at least in college and at least 2 years away from probably thinking about doing that. You know, I still love talking and I still love breaking down sports. So until that leaves me, I don't see why I wouldn't want to still do this in some capacity. Maybe you tone it down a little bit and don't do three jobs, podcast, television, and radio shows. So maybe you eliminate one or two of those along the way. But until the youngest leaves, you know, and, you know, gets himself organized with what he wants to do and is sort of on safe ground, I would think that I would be in the mix. Plus the fact I want to be in the mix right now. I got a kid who wants to be a basketball coach and another one who might be want to be a talk show host. So I want to be in the medium when they find their way so I can help them. You know, if I disappear for 5 years and all of a sudden I pick up a phone and call WHAS in Louisville, you know, they may not know who I am. So I keep that in mind too. As long as I am relevant, that will help them in getting their career started in tricky careers, as you said, coaching, sports, and if he wants to be a broadcaster in some capacity, that as well.
Yeah, makes sense, Chris. And the last thing I want to hit you with here, I love to ask all the dads that I get on a podcast, what type of advice do you have for that new dad or for that about-to-be father who's out there listening?
Wow. Well, first off, the first thing is small kids, small problems, big kids, big problems. That's the first thing. You know, big kids, you know, driving, going out when they become teenagers. I mean, you really got to have a lot of patience. You got to give them a little room. There's a fine line there too. Room doesn't mean 4 o'clock in the morning. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m. With the small kids, I mean, you got to be patient. You know, there's a lot of, that's why it's a young man's deal. You know, there's a lot of making sure this, that stuff that is, you know, diapers, infancy, giving your wife a break, all those little things. It's tricky when you're young because it's very time consuming. When they get older, they're more into their own thing. And so you can really leave them alone. You got to check up on them because you don't want to get them and you don't want them getting involved in things that they shouldn't be getting involved in. And, you know, kids are secretive. You know, they hang out in their rooms, look at their computers all day. Who knows what they're looking at? So you have to keep that in mind, too. You got to have some sort of parental supervision there. But, you know, you try to give your kids some room because, you know, you're not going to be here forever. And when they get to a certain age, you can't do anything with them anyway. And once they get to be 21, they're on their own. And you want to be able to set them on the right course and have them trust you. And I think if you give them some room so they can fall on their own occasionally when they get to be teenagers, finding that fine line of when I should get involved, when they got to fend for themselves. I think that's a tricky thing to do as far as fatherhood and parenthood is concerned.
Yeah, very well said. I love the message. This has been an honor for me. I got to say, Chris Russo, you're a first-class father all the way. And thank you so much for giving me a few minutes of your time here on First Class Fatherhood.
Alec, great job for you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it here today.
Back to wrap things up here on First Class Fatherhood. I got to give a special thank you once again to the Mad Dog for giving me a few minutes of his time here. How cool was that? Please hit me up on Twitter, guys, or drop me a DM on Instagram. Let me know what you thought about today's episode. I always love to read your feedback. And don't forget, if you're going to be buying tickets, taking your kids to the game, or going with your buddies, buy them on SeatGeek.com or use that SeatGeek app. Plug in the promo code FIRSTCLASS. That's one word, FIRSTCLASS, and you save $20 on your tickets. You'll save $20 on your tickets and help support the podcast here. SeatGeek.com or the SeatGeek app. Promo code FIRSTCLASS. Save $20. That's all I got for you guys today. I'm Alec Lace. Thank you for listening to First Class Fatherhood. And please remember, guys, we are not babysitters. We are fathers. And we're not just fathers. We are first-class fathers.